I think in London is Professor Anthony Huete, who's been a guest on our program before, and I'm really pleased to have a yarn with Anthony again. He's a professor of architecture and planning, and his research focuses on housing affordability, housing quality, and innovative rental models with a particular interest in improving outcomes or housing outcomes for our people. Anthony Huete is with us, and thank you for joining us, Anthony. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. I hope you can hear you. I'm in the back of a black cab.
Oh, look at that. In downtown London. You spent a lot of time in London as well, eh, Anthony, over the years. So an opportunity to look back at some of their perhaps innovative approaches to culturally focused housing initiatives. We're grappling at home here with, you know, rising costs, flatlining affordability of housing, but sadly, you and I have discussed before this slump in Māori home ownership. So we're trying to come up with some innovative models here, and I know that they're whacking up these units, apartments, sometimes three stories, often two, little green space, nowhere to park a car, so not exactly what our Māori whānau hope for. What sort of thinking have you been putting into innovative Māori housing solutions, urban, that do have some sort of Māori focus or design concepts, Anthony?
So, kia ora, Dale. I guess I'm literally looking out the window, and I guess a lot of the lessons I personally learned, but of course I've inherited from Rānana London, so I kind of think about what is a good affordable, good quality housing look like here, and what are the lessons we can take through to Aotearoa, and obviously recognising that the landscape's quite different. But I guess the key takeaway for me, Dale, is that it's increasingly about well-designed medium and high-density housing. I'm literally going past an estate at the moment, up in North London, six stories. I know that's not our traditional model, which is much lower, but increasingly cities are spreading, and we're going to have to think about increasing the density. So for me, good quality housing means, obviously, to share these values with all, good dry energy efficiency, daylight, ventilation, shared green spaces, walkability, and a mixture of our housing tenures and household types. So what I learned from Dale, what I learned from 30 years in Rānana, is that our density does not mean poor quality, and there's many housing exemplars over here. So in Aotearoa, I think one of the big learnings is to equate housing success. It's not just about the standalone house. We've got to accept that townhouses and terrace houses, you know, those three-story walk-ups, are coming because it's just greater land efficiency. And with that, we need to think about transport costs, energy costs, access to jobs and services. And as we heard from our last listener, Aaron, I believe, long-term health outcomes. So the real question is not whether housing is dense, but whether it's dignified, healthy, and connected to all of us.
Yeah, tēnā koe. Some interesting challenges. I spoke yesterday with Rangi Kipa. I hope you're familiar with Rangi's work. And we were talking about feelings inside a whare rather than what we're looking at. And I'm just wondering, and I know that we have these compressed environments, including unit development in these six-story buildings that we're touching on. Anthony, as a design and architectural expert, is there some way we could whaka Māori even the most basic of unit designs? I'm not sure what I'm even talking about, but is there some is there some way we can invoke that Māori feeling of culture, that pride we have in ourselves, inside even the most basic of units?
Absolutely. So the other housing tenure model, Dale, that came out sort of 10, 15 years ago, instead of emerging, called build-to-rent housing. That's when developers stopped building housing to sell and housing to rent. And I think we can definitely whaka Māori there. That's with an iwi landlord. So that's where the developer is basically an iwi agency who then is responsible for the management and governorship of those housing. So that is definitely a model. I think we've also seen with our traditional marae style housing, it kind of forms a co-housing. So I think if you look within our own traditions, we definitely have the capacity to find new types of models which are less about the individual and much more about the collective. So you are definitely on the money when you're saying that we can whaka Māori a kind of approach to housing.
Even, you know, you might have a basic kitchenette in your whare, in your unit, but if you were doing it, you know, a decent cook-up, maybe there's a shared space.
Absolutely.
Or ideas of that nature, but it doesn't seem to be coming forward. I'm down with what you're saying, because the build-to-rent market is one that is expanding. But again, it doesn't help how people get into home ownership, does it, Anthony? But it can provide safe and secure whare, or units. Yeah. How might we...
Yeah.
Is this a challenge then to Māori organisations to say, hey, get into the build for rent space, but you know, be very mindful, in fact, prioritise this sort of cultural design that makes us feel good inside these joints?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are seeing particularly Ngāti Pātua, Ki Te Ōrākei, we've seen the kind of second and third generation housing take on much more a kind of co-housing approach, shared, whether it's shared vehicle or shared laundry. So there is an approach now to perhaps, let's say, not having all the facilities within the individual house, but actually sharing that for grant. You know, if you look at the economies of scale, you can do a better quality, bigger laundry, which can accommodate more than doing lots of lesser quality individual laundry. So they are emerging, but it is a case of having to accept a shift towards a greater density, a greater collectivity. And I don't think Māori are going to have a problem with that.
Some of your designs, even when you're in London, where you are now today, Professor Anthony Huete is our guest. Anthony deliberately incorporated green spaces, gardens, rooftop gardens, etc. Should we be also considering this? So they're not just the standard block units that seem to be preferred at the moment.
No, because spaces, the whenua is a premium. So, of course, and when we work with Ahu, whenua, you know, those sort of the trust, we are now realising that... even on Māori land blocks, we have to treat them with a lot more value. And so therefore, not always green space will be tied to the ground. So increasingly, you're seeing green balconies and green rooftops. Of course, there are some issues of tikanga. You know, traditionally, for example, building above the tikotiko, what does that mean in a Māori space? I mean, we, again, as the architect, we can't really answer that. Tend to refer those sort of questions to the hapu, but you know, like I say, there is opportunities, but those opportunities can only be really undertaken if you are working with either the Papakāinga Trust or working with, because we, you know, we can't make these decisions by ourselves. Architects are not holding the answers. It's only a collective workability with iwi and hapu that make outcomes possible.
Tēnā koe. So we're talking about encouraging Māori trusts. I mean, going up is a reality in urban environments, and as more and more people want to live on this isthmus in Tāmaki Makaurau, we're seeing, and it's frustrating too, because we didn't grow up with them. We grew up with these quarter-acre sections with a bit of room for
sections,
kids to run
around. Right.
But now we've got to go
up. Wow. Yeah, well, think about it. Dale, think about it. The quarter acre section was 1,000 square metres with one house. So today, most cities, Tamaki Makaurau, you can build on 1,000 square metres, you're getting three dwellings. Increasingly in London, you'll get six. So those ideas are really gone, that you would, you know, build at such low density. We are definitely needing to build closer together. So you've got to get kind of used to actually being a little bit they're more snuggly with each other.
Well, that's an interesting thought too. Tell us, Anthony, these are issues that need constant kōrero, but I think there is a Māori-focused solution, as you've touched on, design concepts that could be created affordably, materials that are easy to attain sustainably. So, you know, we've got innovative thinkers.
Yeah, so it's particularly, so when you touched on a beautiful point of materials, and of course, you know, Maori ownership post Te Tiriti settlement means increasingly Maori will own exotic forests. So there's a great opportunity for Maori not to just grow the housing stock, but also to grow an economy through the processing of timber. And so the natural relationship we have with Tāne, Ngāhere, is a great shift where our forestry stock also holds a lot of potential as in terms of where we should be heading in terms of building materials.
Well, tēnā koe. Thank you, Anthony. We need to think outside the square. Otherwise, that's all we're going to end up with is squares, and we'll never get that that warmth that we know our whare can provide. By the way, what are you doing in London? Are you living there now or here?
I'm seeing my son Maui, who's just finished it, just graduated from. Where'd you graduate from? Economics at Queen Mary's. So I'm over here for that. Keep saying there's a lot of economic development. Take some of that mātauranga and bring it back home.
Tēnā koe. We'll chuck Maui on the phone for a minute, please, so I can say congratulations.
I'll do that. One second. He's here.
Thanks very much. Well, that's fantastic. Just graduated with a tohu in economics. We need more Māori economists. Maui, tēnā koe.
Hey. Kia ora, hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine there. Maui, congratulations. My name's Dale. I work on the Māori radio station in Auckland, and I've been speaking with your old man over the years. So congratulations. Oh, yeah. Congratulations, Maui, on your tohu.
Thank you.
Just graduating, because we need more of our thinkers who can factor in the financials as well. Raised mostly in London, Maui, or back home here in NZ?
No, I was born here in London, but I go back to visit the old man and family probably once a year.
Yeah, good. Good, Maui. Oh, well, I was just talking about Maori architecture with your papa, so perhaps one day when you come on home and you can sort of consider global economic matters, we can also sort of localise them to the Maori model, because you know, it's an area where we don't have that much expertise in economics. What was it about that area that you were drawn to, Maui?
Me in particular, I'm particularly drawn to like social economics. So not necessarily just like the like heavy investment banking and stuff like that, but really what you can do to like improve economic like welfare for everyone, really. So like uplift society in general. So like as I was saying, hopefully one day I can build experiences and then bring them back and take them home.
Sounds good, mate. Hey, listen, by the way, were you cheering for the English or the New Zealand cricket team in the third test? Okay.
They're both.
Very diplomatic, Maui, very diplomatic. We don't have, and to be honest, and proudly I say this with great respect, we don't have a lot of Maui with that beautiful accent that you carry. So you're quite a distinct Maori, all right? And one day, how about popping in one day when you're back in NZ and having a yarn with us here on Radio Waitea
in Tāmaki?
Good meeting you, and love talking with your papa.
You too.
So all the best with your tohu, and congratulations on your studies culminating in that daonga. Mihi ana ka koe, Maui. Nice to have a brief kōrero with you today. Tēnā koe.
Thank you very much. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. That's Maui Huete. Just graduated with his tohu in economics, social economics too, as he touched on, and his papa, who is Professor of Architecture and Planning, Anthony Huete.